It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. For the next several weeks, I'm going to conduct a series of Bible studies on these radio broadcasts about some of the more commonly taught doctrines of the churches. I will state, as simply as possible, the general teaching of a good portion of the Protestant churches on such and such a subject. Then we will read a number of Bible passages related to that subject or doctrine, compare them to each other and to the doctrines taught. In that manner, I believe we shall be able to separate truth from falsehood, the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. The two letters which Paul wrote to Timothy are good instruction in how the Word of God is to be studied. You all know the two most commonly quoted verses, 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 and 16, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needest not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." The words profane and vain here are both translated from Greek words which mean false or misleading. Shun false and misleading babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Last week or the week before, I made a comment that America has more preaching to the people than we have ever had in our history, and yet America is increasing unto more ungodliness. Is it because we are being taught false and misleading doctrines? We shall try to answer that as best we can during some of the next broadcasts by a rather detailed study of the Word of God itself in relation to and in comparison to some of the most widely taught doctrines of the modern church. While doing that, we will see why the Bereans were commended in Acts 17 and verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." The writer of Acts called them noble, not only because they received the word, but because they studied the Scriptures themselves to check to see if the things they were being taught were true. So you do that with me and with other ministers. You read your Bible right along with me, and then you will know from your own personal reading of those passages whether Pastor Emery is teaching them right or wrong. Today I will begin this investigation of doctrines by playing a part of a church sermon of mine from several months ago. The title is the Bride Ready for the Marriage to the Lamb? I'll play just about half of the first sermon. There are six sermons in the series. You'll hear just enough of it today to show from the Bible that the church is not the bride of Christ. Many preachers in America use that phrase over and over. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus is coming for his bride, the church, and so on. And then they tell believers that such and so is going to happen to them because they are part of the bride of Christ. Then next week, God willing, we will go all the way back to the book of Genesis and begin our investigation into modern church doctrines in relation to Bible truth. We'll be discussing creation, Adam and Eve, the Tower of Babel, Noah, and we shall even discuss the flood as to whether it was worldwide or covered a limited area. And by the way, if any of my radio listeners would like the whole series of the six sermons on Is the Bride Ready for the Marriage to the Lamb, they are available on cassette tapes for a gift offering to America's Promise of $7.50. They are on three 90-minute cassettes over 4 hours of Bible study on the bride for an offering of $7.50 to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. They will not be played on the radio, just the first 20 minutes or so of the first sermon. And before we start that portion of the sermon, Is the Bride Ready for the Marriage to the Lamb?, I want to give my address for those who have not yet written for our free February packet of literature. Write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the February packet. This includes my 30-page booklet, The Old Jerusalem Is Not the New Jerusalem, our last monthly bulletin, which has the biblical computations regarding the period of seven times, which was to pass over the children of Israel before they would become a new and sovereign nation. That seven-time Bible period ended in 1776 with the founding of the United States of America. Included in this free packet will be our order blank, listing our other literature, a tape catalog of over 100 cassette Bible studies from sermons and radio, and a few other items. Ask for the February packet when you write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. In the packet, we will also send information on how you can get on our mailing list to receive both these weekly radio broadcasts on tape and also a church sermon each week on tapes. Now, here is a portion of the first sermon in that series, and after you hear this, I will repeat my address in case you would want to obtain the entire series on tape. I will not play the entire series on the radio. That would take about 6 or 7 broadcasts, but you will hear just enough of the first one to see that what is called the church is not the bride of Christ. Yes, that is what I said. The Bible does not teach that the church is the bride of Christ. Is the bride ready for the marriage to the Lamb? Every Christian wants to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So let's start to read in Revelation 19, after Babylon is destroyed. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Then in a little while, John relates in verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. So the time will not come for that until after God has completed his judgment on the great whore. And many Christian people are saying today, well, the marriage of the Lamb can come any time because I am ready. The church is ready and waiting for the return of Jesus Christ for the marriage. But the first question I want to ask and investigate, where in the Bible does it teach that the church is the bride of the Lamb? Turn with me on to Revelation 21, because here is a vision then of what takes place as God creates the new heaven and the new earth, chapter 21 of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And then in case you missed that, he goes on in verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, what did the angel show John when he showed John the bride, the wife of the Lamb? And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. In other words, twice in Revelation 21, we find that the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, is the bride of the Lamb. Now, I know that thousands of ministers teach that the church, what they call the bride, is ready, that Christ can come at any time, the bride is waiting, and then they use those terms, the bride and the church, interchangeably. But here it says, the holy city is. Now turn back with me to Ephesians 5, because here are some of the verses of Scripture which are used by the people to teach that the church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5 will start in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, for he is Savior of the body. And they say, oh, see, the body of the called out believers are the true bride of Christ. He goes on, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And they say, see, the wife of the man is compared to the church, to Christ. So therefore, the church is the bride of Christ. But if you'll read this, you'll see that nowhere in the Scripture, verses we have read, does he say the church is the bride, and nowhere in there does he say that Christ is the husband of that body he is speaking of. But he does say in verse 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. And then he says in verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So the church is the body of Christ. It does not say here that the church is the bride. Now the Greek word here is ecclesia, and it literally means a body or an assembly or the called out ones. Here, of course, translated church. Now we all know as Christians it does not mean a building. It doesn't mean any one assembly. It does mean, or ecclesia does mean, all of the whole body of believers. And several times here we see that he compares this to Christ's body. He was not saying, and did not say, that the ecclesia is the bride. But instead he was exhorting, in this passage, husbands to treat their wives as their own body, as Christ was the head of what? The head of the bride? No, the head of his own body. Now, if Paul meant in this passage to teach that the church was the bride, he certainly would have taken the opportunity in verse 27 to have said that he might present it to himself a glorious bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. But he didn't. He said he would present it to himself a glorious ecclesia, called out ones, which we understand to be the body of Christ. In verse 23, it is called the body. In verse 24, subject unto Christ. In verse 27, holy, without blemish. In verse 30, his body. And in verse 31, one flesh. And I know that thousands of ministers and hundreds of thousands of individual Christians believe that passage teaches that the believers are Christ's bride, but they are not.
They are his body. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this should be made plain in this passage. This is the passage about the gifts of the Spirit given to the various believers. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, and that's from the word Greeks, and it means Judeans or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Again referring to all of the individual, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of believers are part of what? Christ's body. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Again, speaking in the negative, if Paul had been teaching that the body of believers were to become or be the bride of Christ, why did he not say so plainly? Why did he repeat over and over several different times in this passage that these people are the body of Christ? In Colossians chapter 1, speaking of Christ as the Creator and the Savior and the Redeemer, he says in verse 17 and 18, And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or stand, and he is the head of the body, the church. So here again, in the very plain words of the English language, Paul states specifically that Christ is the head of the body, the church. And in the other passage in Ephesians, all in the world Paul was doing was telling those people, those husbands, because it was addressed to husbands, that they should treat their wives as their own body, just as Christ treated the church, which was his own body. He didn't say, treat your wives as your bride, as Christ treats the church, his bride. And I know that many scores of thousands of ministers have been taught in the seminaries to teach their flocks that the church is the bride of Christ. And in doing it, of course, they disrupt and change all of the prophecies about the marriage of the Lamb. You cannot understand the marriage of the Lamb and who will be there if you insist that the church is the bride of Christ. Now turn with me to Revelation 21 again, and let's see who is actually the bride of the Lamb according to this passage about the bride. We read verses 9 and 10. Let's start there again. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So here we find on this bride of the Lamb, this holy city, this New Jerusalem, the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now today, almost all of the church's teaching on the bride of the Lamb is that what we have is a Gentile, non-Israel bride. You hear this over and over from radio, from the pulpit. You read it in their tracts. And they say, oh, the bride of Christ is the Gentile church, which will be snatched off in the rapture and so on. And in case some of you didn't realize how pervasive this preaching was, here is a tract someone sent me in the mail. It's published here in Phoenix. These people sent this to me from a city in the state of Washington, and they told me that it was being left at every house in their city. And this book is a complete story, as most fundamentalists teach it, that the church, which is the bride of Christ, is going to be taken off from the earth, that the church is not Israel, that it is a Gentile church made up of non-Israel people, and then Israel will remain here on the earth to go through the great tribulation. Now, in case you think they're printing a few copies of these, on the back of this it says, we are now printing millions of these startling books. The pages are not numbered, but there are about 30 to 32 pages in that booklet. That is not cheap to put out in three or four colors. And they are printing millions, and apparently they have a promotion of some sort to pass these out door to door in cities all over America. They are being taught that the church, the bride, is going to be taken off from the earth. And here we're reading in Revelation 21 that the bride of the Lamb is seen in vision by John coming down from heaven. It is a great city. It is called New Jerusalem. It's called the Bride of the Lamb. And on the 12 gates of that city are the names of the children of Israel. Now this ceremony, as we have mentioned here, is future. As we read in Revelation 19 and the last half of verse 7, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That to me is one of the most overlooked verses, or half a verse of Scripture in all of the book of Revelation. The marriage cannot come until the wife hath made herself ready. And that indicates something that the wife does. Something has to be prepared. Now, most of the ladies here, a good share of you, have gone through a marriage ceremony. And I don't know how anxious you were to get married, or whether you were reluctant or whatever, but I do know you were not about to go get married without getting ready for the ceremony. You wanted certain things to be done right. You had to have invitations. You had to have a preparation. People had to understand what they were to do, where their places were. And God Almighty has given us a Bible, which is made up of 66 books. And apparently there is a marriage to take place after God has broken the power of Mystery Babylon and after the bride has made herself ready. If Israel has a part of being the bride of Christ, Israel is not ready. Israel is not ready. Now there are two general teachings on Israel which I should comment on. Some say the Jews are Israel. Now, if Jesus Christ is the husband in this marriage in Revelation 21, and the 12 tribes of Israel have their names on New Jerusalem, the holy city, which is the bride of Christ, then how in the world can anyone say, if the Jews are Israel, that the bride hath made herself ready? Now there are others who say, and I happen to be one of them, that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples are the literal, physical descendants of the tribes of Israel, and we prove that. But anyway, another question. If we are the Israel people, are we ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Are we ready for the ceremony of Israel, if we are Israel, being married to Christ? And I guess I don't have to go into details on that. Take a look at our people and our nation. Has this bride made herself ready? No, obviously not. Something more must be done. Let's turn back to the prophets. To Hosea, before we discuss what the bride, whoever she is, must do to make herself ready, I want to read something in the prophets to show that Israel was to be the future bride of God Almighty.
And this is Pastor Emery cutting in. Our time is up for today. That was about 20 minutes of a total of 4 hours of preaching on Is the Bride Ready for the Marriage to the Lamb? You can see that the teaching that the Gentile church is the bride of Christ has completely hidden the true teachings of the Bible about Christ's bride. By their tradition, they have made the Word of God of none effect. If you want that whole four-hour series on cassette tape on the bride, and I'll not play any more of it on the radio, send an offering of $7.50 to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the cassette tapes on The Bride of Christ. When you write, the February packet is free, of course, no charge for that. It includes my booklet, The Old Jerusalem Is Not the New Jerusalem, which covers a part of the same subject. You'll also receive other things in that packet. The announcer will repeat my address in just a moment. Next week, God willing, we will go back to the book of Genesis to study the creation story, Adam and Eve, and so on. Again, we will find that common church teaching today about creation and about Adam and Eve do not square with Bible truth. Until next week, then, when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bible and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.